Read Amendment Number Two.
Amendment Number Two by Mr. Malone. Page 8, line 18, add the following sentence. A suspension or extension granted under this subsection may not exceed 2 years.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Movement asks unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number Two.
Objection.
There was objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, Mr. Speaker, simply put, what this amendment would do would be to place a limitation on the suspension or extension that would be granted under the new subsection 250D. It's a new power that the commissioner would have. Now, the amendment, at least the way it's written, would not provide a limitation on the number of extensions that could be granted, but it would provide a limitation on any one extension. I think there's two problems with this section. One is that any number of extensions or suspensions and extensions may be granted, and secondly, for an indefinite period of time. This would clear up the second point. That would make it a definite period of time not to exceed 2 years, and give the commissioner some guidelines on this.
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Couple points here. I think if we put a time limit on it, I don't know why we take this time of 2 years, just a kind of a pie in the sky kind of an idea out of the blue. I think we need to give that flexibility to the commissioner to extend that lease for the amount of time that the commissioner feels is important, depending on the circumstances of that particular lessee. And I don't see any reason for putting a two-year time limit on it. And I would question the maker of the amendment why he picked 2 years and where he came up with that two-year figure.
Representative Szymanski.
Mr. Speaker, I call the House.
There is a call on the House. For the information of the Sergeant of Arms, some of the members are in the Conference Committee on the Budget. The House, please stand at ease. Been lifted. On Amendment Number Two, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess we're back under debate. Amendment Number Two. In answer to the member from downtown Anchorage, you want to know why 2 years? It's obviously arbitrary. I think it was pointed out by the junior member from Ketchikan that we have a possible 30-year lease right now. So I didn't want to go for a very long period of time. 1 year would barely get a person through one season, so I thought 2 years, but I'd be agreeable to shortening the time period.
Representative Sun?
Yeah, I'd just like to point out to the body, I kind of promised my wife I'd never assert the fact I was a lawyer up here, but you got to look at the fact of what you put the commissioner under, and under a legal test, under this thing here, you in fact have got the commissioner where you can never say no. If the lessee comes in and asks for this extension, the commissioner will have to grant it to him, even though the first sentence does say may. You've got so many different reasons, force majeure, depressed market, and then this other thing called other situations beyond reasonable control of the lessee. I'll take that one up anytime anybody wants to bring it to me. I can find a whole number of situations there. So you've effectively tied the commissioner's hands and given the entire authority to extend this 10 plus 20-year lease situation indefinitely.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if the maker of the amendment has considered if there might be a fiscal note involved in that because of the review process and paperwork and stuff like that. Would that be a consideration?
Representative Malone.
Yeah, Speaker, I suppose that it would be, because if under the language in the bill is currently written, the commissioner could just grant the extension, never have to worry about it again. And in this case here, it would bring it up automatically for review at a minimum period of maximum period of time of 2 years if it were adopted. But I don't really know what the possible fiscal impact of that sort of thing might be, depending on the number of requests and so forth. It's really unfortunate that this subject wasn't explored further in committee.
Are you Representative Gall?
Just briefly, in support of the amendment, it seems essential that there be some limit on this. The purpose of these leases is clearly to develop these claims and to get these minerals out of the ground. and not for the purpose of locking up land or restricting access to mineral claims by competitors. That would be the effect of this Section D, unless some limitation is placed on it. And therefore, I think the amendment is certainly in the best interest of the state and supportive of the Constitution.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the House Rules Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 371? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
24 yeas, 11 nays.
Amendment number 2 has been adopted. Clerk, please read amendment number 3.
Amendment number 3 by Sund, page 8, line 18. After conditions, delete, or other situations beyond reasonable control of the lessee.
Representative Sun?
Yeah, I've moved and asked unanimous consent for the amendment.
Is there objection?
Yes, sir.
There was objection. Representative Sun?
Yeah, this is just to delete the last phrase there, and I'm not going to take a whole bunch of the body's time here. The arguments have already been made. But if we take this situation, this has taken all those weird situations and unknowns and that out of this deal and just leave the issues that can be done with for the extension as force majeure and depressed market. And the force majeure takes care of all of those acts of God, the mudslides, the earthquakes, and all those other things that the Almighty has control over that always seem to happen in Alaska. And depressed market is the other viable thing they can argue with the commissioner why they should not be able to produce. And I think it gives a even though I still don't agree with the section, it makes the section viable and gives the commissioner some guidelines to work under. I'd urge the adoption.
Representative Bussell?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I voted for the last amendment because I didn't really see any quarrel with having an exemption reviewed periodically, and I did agree with the maker of the amendment that 2 years was reasonably a good time to have it reviewed. But I'm against removing those last words on line 17 or 18 to remove other situations. Other situations in this instance can contain a lot of new permitting processes or an environmental challenge or a number of incidental meaningless lawsuits that are brought by organizations against miners across the country, to say nothing of this state, and have had a historical record of being done. And I think other situations beyond the reasonable control of the lessee cover those things and therefore should be left in the bill. I do think it's good language and would urge that the amendment be defeated. And while I'm on my feet, just as a rebuttal to a couple of comments made by the junior representative from Ketchikan, when he says, in effect, the commissioner wouldn't have any reason or not to to grant a suspension or an extension, and alleges that he's an attorney from the area down there and maybe tries to tell the body that he's speaking from that basis and therefore it's much more credible. Maybe he should read the entire section there. The only reason the commissioner can even consider extending it is in the, if you break that into two parts there, on line 8 where it says promote development of the lease, it's got to be necessary to promote the development of the lease. That's a condition for him even to consider it. And then if he gets down to line 14, if you break it at line 12 into two parts, the lessee, he's got by showing that the lease is reasonably close to attaining production. That's the second part of that. A guy can't come in and just want his lease extended because he thinks it needs to be extended. The commissioner has to agree that it's reasonably close to attaining production. So the two valid reasons in there that break the two sections of that apart are quite clearly set out, and the commissioner can't just do it because he takes it in his mind to do it, or the lessee can't just have it done because he takes it in his mind to have it done either. Once again, I would urge the body to defeat the amendment. I believe the situation is beyond the reasonable control of the leasee. Are important considerations, and the amendment should be defeated. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the House Rules Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 371? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
13 yeas, 22 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 3. Will the clerk please read Amendment Number 4?
Amendment Number 4 by M.M. Miller. Page 6, line 7, and page 7, line 2. Change $3 to $6.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I just want this bill to be consistent with the Finance Committee version, who came out, had language identical to what I'm proposing. And I think they did it for good reason, Mr. Speaker. I think that's a... this is a reduction by 50% of the revenues that would accrue to the state under acreages leased for prospecting by the industry. And, Mr. Speaker, if we take this $3 and make it $6, please understand that we're not changing anything. We're not doubling the current rate. The current rate is $3 a year. But if you'll read here, we're changing the Rules Committee version makes it $3 for a two-year period. In other words, we're reducing it, as I mentioned earlier, down to a dollar and a half. If we change the $3 to $6 for a two-year period, we are merely keeping in place the same number of dollars, namely $3 a year, that's in the current law. And I just think there has not been a showing by anybody that the industry or that the individual members of the industry need this 50% reduction for any good public purpose. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
President Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This sounds a little like a little deja vu here, but I got the same little bit of a misleading statement there. Just to clarify, the difference is that this says $3 for the first two-year period. And $3 per year after that time. The other version says nothing the first year, $6 the second year, which is $6 for the first two-year period. After that, it's $3 per year. So it's not cutting it in half. It's changing the first year. That's all it's doing.
Representative Miller?
First 2 years, it's flat out cutting it in half. Right now, it's $3 a year. Under the Rules Committee version, it'll be a dollar and a half a year for the first 2 years. This amendment merely restores it to the current version, to the current law that exists in the statute books right now. It words it a little bit differently. And if members feel more comfortable, I'll be glad to submit an amendment which would go back to the current language, but that's not necessary. All we have to do is do what the Finance Committee did, and that is say $6 for a two-year period. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
President Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, maybe I'll try once again to recall as clearly as I can for the minority leader and for those interested the testimony of the department in House Resources when the bill was debated was that no mine, the first year it's permitted or by the time it receives its permits in that first year, ever attains operation. Therefore, the state is collecting the first year's rent without the mine ever being in operation. And they felt that the $3 for the first 2 years simply was a way of saying, okay, the second year of after the permit's issued, you're going to be in operation and we're going to start charging you lease for the property, or lease rents will be due for the property. I think it was a good compromise. It was struck after a lot of... meetings and debate took place between the mining industry and the department on that. The resource chairman knows well of it. The makers of this bill were involved in those discussions. They were lengthy. It was a good compromise. It was agreed to by the administration, by the department. I think it's a good compromise. I'd urge the body to vote no on the amendment.
President Miller?
Speaker, I don't know how it's a compromise when one side loses. You know, I mean, there wasn't any compromise. There was no compromise at all. We have just simply cut in half the rate that we are currently charging. And I say again, sure, if a lease begins, say, in the middle of June, probably for that following year, there won't be any production take place or even any prospecting take place. But there's 12 months out of the year, and there's every likelihood that in, you know, most of the time, a mining organization can get their act together and they can start prospecting. Whether they choose to prospect or not, in a sense, is immaterial. They are tying up the prospecting or production rights of land that belongs to all the people during that period. They have got possession of those rights. So whether they prospect on them right away or whether they delay interminably, which they can probably do under the legislation that we're passing today, it really doesn't matter. The time schedule means nothing. The point is, right now we are charging $3 per year. This is going to cut it down to $1.50 a year, and I just don't think that's right, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gaul.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a matter of fact, maybe what would be really appropriate, given the declining revenues, would be for these to be opened up to competitive bid. And in that way, there'd be some incentive on the part of the developers to get to work on their development. But notwithstanding that, some indication should probably be made that what we're doing today or what we may do today is part of a trend that I've been seeing of providing short-term incentives for development, which certainly by 1997, if not by 1990 or 1994, are not going to be affordable by the state of Alaska in terms of its overall tax burdens and tax structure, its overall bonded debt burdens and its tax structure. So I would suggest that as a matter of principle and policy, we look to stability in the prices that we're charging to these various users of the public resource rather than looking consistently to provide short-term incentives, which will eventually have to be retracted.
Representative Cowdery?
Yes, could we have a brief please?
Will the House please stand at ease?
During the ease, there was an amendment to amendment number 4 placed on the clerk's desk. Will the clerk please read the amendment to amendment number 4?
Amendment to amendment number 4 by Fuller and Liska. Page 6, line 7, and page 7, line 2, change $3 to $1.
Representative Fuller?
I move amendment and ask for unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Miller?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, just so I understand it, the members want to reduce this to $1 for a 2-year period. Is that correct? Well, as long as we're giving away the state, Mr. Speaker, why not?
Representative Ewing?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm certainly in support of the amendment. I think I've been listening to the debate back here, back and forth, for almost 10 or 15 minutes now, and it seems pretty clear that we want to encourage mineral development in Alaska. We want to encourage resource development, and I think at least by putting this down to a dollar, we're going to be doing that. Now, I've been sitting through 2 years of committee meetings and seeing all kinds of films on mining in Alaska, and I just wanted to see what the fruits of those movies were going to be and that they were actually going to get out there and develop those lands. So by God, let's be pro-development, let's vote for this amendment, and let's give the miners and the resource people that want to develop this state a chance. Thank you.
Representative Sun?
Yeah, I'm going to speak against the amendment because what you want to do in mining is to get some money into the ground, and that's how you get development going. And that's how you this here. And you got to understand that these dollar rentals, if you look at line 6, can be applied against rentals for the money put in the ground. You got to go out and brush your claim lines and invest in the ground, and you can take that off against your rental fee. And although the representative from me pointed out to you that your air taxi out to the claim and back and out is not deductible, but your actual time in the ground is. And I'd also like to bring the attention to the body, just a historical note that I've noted here. In 1982, which would be the second session of the last legislature, of which many members were here, that this same statute was amended at that time, and it was changed from $1 for each 2 years to $3 per acre per year. And now in 1984, 2 years later, we have many of the same members of this body. Actually, it's the same leadership anyway. Voting to roll it backwards. So we went from 50 cents an acre to $3 an acre, and now we're proposed under one amendment to go back to $1.50, and under the second amendment here to go back to 50 cents. So I'm not quite sure where the consistency is, but I'll vote against the amendment because I think we need to encourage people to put some time and effort into the claims if we ever want to get them up to production.
President Martin?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your encouragement, sir. I didn't know when the gentleman behind me would be done. I had to speak against the amendment, sir, as a responsible conservative legislator and one who believes in pro-development. But at the same time, we don't want what might be considered an Oklahoma stampede. This would be almost ludicrous in the protection of our resources and what is vital to the state, and also protection of our land not being completely destroyed. It seems to me, as good, responsible, conservative people, we don't mind paying our way. And our way means is that we know that the division will have responsibility of surveying land, of processing the paperwork, and so on. So miners, who are probably the most independent people of the nation, have never griped, to the best of my knowledge, since the very beginning of the state. The miners' laws tell you that. Look in the history of our state. It all began under the miners' law. And if there's any one person they ever revered in and honor his word and his books, his statistics, was that person that kept the records, who kept the transfer of one deed to another. They probably honor him more than the judge and anyone else, and they pay him what the proper fee was to keep these titles, to keep the paperwork in order. And it just seems to me that the miners do not mind having a fair charge for what they are calling their own, whether it be leasing or holding for a while, or just the privilege of going out there and doing the surveying and exploration that they want. Once you get below a reasonable fee and a protected fee for their own interest, then you will end up with the Oklahoma stampede. And I hope the people who put this amendment on here will reconsider and withdraw them because it got to the point of being ludicrous. Thank you.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this whole thing is getting a little bit ridiculous. I'm going to vote against both of them, the amendment to the amendment and the amendment. I think they're both just ridiculous.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you. I'm speaking against the amendment to the amendment and for the original amendment. What we're trying to encourage, or what the law purports to encourage, is to encourage development of the claims. And as a member from Eagle River pointed out, that some of those costs are fairly heavy. Anyone who is doing a reasonable job of mining and isn't just playing at earth moving drills his claim. They have to do core drilling, and that takes considerable time and considerable money, considerable moving of equipment. And what the 50 cents or a dollar or $3 or whatever we're going to settle on is a requirement to spend essentially that much per acre over the entire claim. And the only instance where the state gets any of that is if you don't put it into the ground in the form of core drilling or cutting out your lines or something else. In other words, it's a requirement that you invest that much per acre. And the less that you require that they invest per acre, the less likely you are to have any true prospecting taking place. In fact, the amendment to the amendment is probably going to encourage trustees for Alaska, the Sierra Club, and other people to go out there and file claims too. Thank you.
Representative Liska.
Speaker, I think the body's losing the reason for this amendment to the amendment. Let me go back and revise your mind, revitalize your minds. These claims about 5 years ago, to my knowledge, were $1 per acre. Back in 5 years ago, fuel costs, I would say, have probably went up at least 35-50%. 5 years ago, you could probably buy a new V8 cat for neighborhood of $175,000. You can't touch one today for less than $225,000. So it falls right in line with the cost of equipment, fuel, labor, equipment, seismic equipment, so forth, is going up. So consequently, I would say that the cost per acre or the leases or the prospect permits should stay the same. So we're getting objections that it's a ridiculous amendment. I don't think it's ridiculous. Leave it like it is because the cost of production, equipment, fuel, and everything has went up. So if you're going to get exploration and development in this state, you have to make it reasonable for the miners and prospectors to be able to stay solvent and do what he's supposed, what he has the leases for. So call it ridiculous. To me, it only makes sense. Thank you.
Representative Locker.
Three inquiry, Mr. Speaker. If I haven't fallen asleep, it would appear that we have an amendment to raise the fee and then an amendment to the amendment to reduce it below the original. Is that proper, Mr. Speaker?
It's allowed.
To amend an amendment in the opposite?
Yes. Representative Miller?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, put the member's mind at rest. That is, it is acceptable from a parliamentary standpoint. Mr. Speaker, the representative from Sleet Newt said both of these amendments are ridiculous. I'll agree with at least 50% of his assessment. But, Mr. Speaker, I'll also quarrel with the representative from Eagle River when he says that this would be putting it back to a dollar as it was during the good old year days when he was prospecting. As a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, it doesn't put it back to a dollar. He forgot to do his arithmetic again. A dollar divided by two is 50 cents. And that's what gets really ridiculous. But, Mr. Speaker, I'll say one thing for this amendment. It does have one redeeming value. I've been wondering what, if this bill passed with the sections that it contains, although basically it's not a bad bill, that's the tragedy of it, but with the sections that it contains, what would be a good argument for veto? And, Mr. Speaker, if we reduce this back to 50 cents an acre, I think I've just found the answer to my question. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? The question before us is the amendment to amendment number 4. Question is, shall the House adopt amendment to amendment number 4 to the House Rules Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 371? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
19 yeas, 16 nays.
The amendment to amendment number 4 has been adopted. Are you ready for the question? Question is, Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, just so there could be no question in anybody's mind what they're voting for on here, I presume we're voting on the amendment now, as amended.
Right.
And so the effect of that amendment is to reduce the current rate of $3 per acre, or $6 for 2 years, however you want to think it, but it's $3 per acre per year, down to 50 cents per acre per year. Mr. Speaker, that's just ridiculous.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number 4 amended to the House Rules Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 371 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
14 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment number 4 amended has failed to pass the House. Does the clerk have further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr.
Any Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 371 rules be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 371, Rules Amended House by the Rules Committee, an act relating to mining and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe somebody in the mining business here can answer this question for me. On page 5, section 7, and I asked the same question in the Finance Committee, Mr. Speaker, and I apologize. I just cannot recall, remember what the answer was. It seemed pretty logical at that time. On Section 7C, what we're doing here is we're saying that a person may not hold more than 8 prospecting sites in a township at any one time And what we've done is we've changed this here to locating, or we've changed this from locating more than 6 sites in one calendar year. I guess I'm just a little unclear as to why we've done this here, where there at one time was a restriction where a person, I guess this could be a corporation or whatever, the definition of person, I guess, would have to be defined to me as to what it meant. But why are we going from a restriction there of not being able to hold more than 6 sites, or, and I don't know what the size of a site is. Is it 1 acre, 10 acres, 1,000 acres, or whatever? It's a little bit unclear to me as to what we are actually doing here. Are we allowing one person, a large corporation, to hold as many sites in as many town, or as much as 8 sites in one township and unlimited townships throughout the recording district there, which would, in a sense, prohibit. It doesn't say anything about the sizes of these sites or what the sites' restrictions are. I suppose a township could be divided up into 8 sites, and one person could hold that whole township, I guess forever. And then in the next adjacent township, the same thing, and the next one adjacent to that, and so on. And so virtually these mining sites could be, or prospecting sites in a very large area, whatever the recording district is, could be eventually held by just a few people. Is that the intent?
Representative Ringstad?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In this section, it's just a technical wording change, and one of the problems that was being run into, where you could go out, locate your 6 sites in a calendar year, you keep locating all these sites, or large firm can have a number of people go out, locate all the sites, and hold them for them. What the intent is trying to do now is you can only hold so many at one time, and rather than just continuing to go out and get more and more and more, and tying up all of it. The intent here is to do exactly what I think you're looking for to do, is that, and that is to say you can only get so many, and then by doing so, encourage the miners to develop the ones they've got, rather than just going out and trying to get more and more sites and tie it all up and never develop it.
Representative Vasca?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an additional question on this particular section. I think the representative from Kodiak is correct. Is a township smaller or larger than a recording district?
Representative Liska?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Township is 3,600 acres. A recording district, my goodness, could be 15 townships. Well, you're talking about two different entities altogether. 3,600 acres is a township.
Representative Vasca?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in that case, what this section does is just the opposite of what the resources chairman says, because, in fact, we're increasing the number of prospecting sites from 6 to 8, and we're limiting the size of the district from a recording district down to a township. So, in fact, just the opposite of what the resources chairman says would happen. A natural person or a corporate person could, in fact, start gathering up these prospecting sites and tie them up. Section 12 assures that they can tie them up for whatever reason. And given that answer, Mr. Speaker, I think I'm compelled to oppose this piece of legislation.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like a question answered on page 7, line 9, what the ramifications of changing the 100,000 acres up to 300,000 too. That seems to be a sizable thing there.
President Ringstead?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
trying to increase, excuse me, trying to increase the acreage. Some of these offshore permits, the larger number becomes a more functional number to deal with. Gives them more flexibility and more a larger unit to work with and make it a more profitable, productive venture to do it. I'm not sure if I answered the question or not.
Representative Herbert?
Does this have to do with offshore?
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Rules Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 371, amended House, pass the House, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. From nay to yea.
Representative Larson, from no to yes. Representative Herbert?
No, yes.
Mr. Herbert, from no to yes. Clerk, may take the roll.
24 yeas, 10 nays.
The House Rules Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 371. Amended House has passed the House. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Like in 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Sun.
I just would note for the members that there's a pretty sophisticated effective date clause in this bill, and if you want to vote it down, it's one way to really screw this bill up.
Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clauses for the House Rules Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 371, amended House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
33 yeas, 1 nay.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. The committee substitute for Senate Bill 384 has an act relating to food banks to help for tomorrow's calendar.
The objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Miller.
Can we have it at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Items I'd like to deal with under unfinished business is the appointment to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics as provided in AS 246130 SLA 1984 Chapter 36. The appointments from the House are Representative Barnes, Representative Furness, and Representative M.M. Miller. It does take a two-thirds majority of the full membership of the body. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the appointments of Representatives Barnes, Furness, and M.M. Miller to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics be confirmed.
Are you ready for the question? Roll call vote. Question is, shall the appointments of Representative Barnes, Furness, and M.M. Miller to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics be confirmed? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
33 yeas, 2 nays.
Appointments have been confirmed. Representative Barnes?
Mr. Speaker, I have a couple of excusals I'd like to make at this time.
Representative Barnes?
I'm going to ask unanimous consent that Representative Adams be excused from the call of the House from May 18th through the 21st. and that Representative Martin be excused from the call of the House May 17th through plain time, excuse me, till 5 p.m. May the 21st.
For objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Miller.
Speaker, at this time I'd like to give notice of reconsideration. I vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill 371.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Miller for his vote on Senate Bill 371. Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, at this time, could I inquire what the plans are, at least as far as you know them at this present time, for the for a weekend schedule?
The present time, at the present time, the plans are to have session Thursday, tomorrow, and Friday, and very likely on Saturday. Sunday is unknown at this time, depending on flow of legislation from the other body. But
there is a likelihood of session on Saturday.
There is a likelihood of session on Saturday.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Abood.
I know this is very, very quick, but the state House affairs, the state House affairs, or House affairs, state, whatever it is, we'll be meeting at 3:30 this afternoon. If you could be up promptly, we could get this over with. Thank you.
Special orders. Representative Ringstead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to speak on philosophy?
You have the floor, Representative Ringstead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was real interested today to find out that we have a substantial number, a larger number of pro-development people in the body than I thought we had, and I was real encouraged to see that. If I'd have known that about 15 months ago, I could have really put some good stuff through here.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I speak on discrimination?
You have the floor, Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, there was an editorial in today in the Times today that I just like to know the body to know that I disagree with considerable. It's they're going into the Power Cost Assistance Program here, and the bill that has been coming around, and they're talking about a discrimination factor here. And that the Anchorage legislators should be up in arms, and none of them seem concerned. And I would just question as to where the discrimination factor is on this whole subject matter. I see none. Thank you.
Representative Barnes, excuse me, Representative Vasca, do you wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I speak on the same subject?
You have the floor, Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The gentleman from Sleep Mute might also consider the contributions of the Susitna Hydroelectric Project in terms of discrimination, how that particular newspaper feels about it.
Representative Schultz?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, just wondering, it's a question rather than a special orders. We just confirmed the people that for the Ethics Committee. Was I seriously considered on being on that committee? Thank you.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I know you have a doctor's appointment and that we're really pressed for time. However, I forgot to bring up House Bill 716 under reconsideration, so that at this time I would move and ask unanimous consent to be allowed to hold over my reconsideration of House Bill 716 until tomorrow's calendar.
Identify
the bill.
Board of Pharmacy.
Oh, thank you.
To the calendar?
I believe, Representative Barnes, what you mean to say is that you would like to hold the reconsideration over one legislative day.
Yes,
that
sir.
Correct?
That's quite properly what I meant to say.
That's House Bill 716 dealing with the Board of Pharmacy. Without objection, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, May 17, 1984.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Has House Bill 14 been reconsidered? And if it has not, Can we also carry that over until tomorrow?
Will the House please stand at ease?
Oh, I just wanted to know if there has been.
Is there objection to the motion that we adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.